been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It's the midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show on this October the 25th. And this is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. It's hard to believe that it seems like one stock, Google, Alphabet, is bringing the market down. We do have a little bit of a rise also in interest rates. We're up 6 basis points on the 10-year. And as a result, the Dow is down 123. But that works out to about a third of a percent. Boeing is a winner in the Dow. The Dow is at 33,017. The S&P is down 1% right now. Google, Alphabet, is a big component of the Dow or of the NASDAQ, on the S&P 500. Google's down 8.5% right now. S&P sits at 4206. And the NASDAQ, which is heavily influenced by Google, Alphabet, which is offsetting the good numbers from Microsoft, seems to be something about the cloud. The NASDAQ's down 199 right now to 12,940. Small caps are now down 1.1%. They were up for a while there. Crude oil's down 14 cents to 83.60. Gold is up $11 to 1997, and the 10-year right now, 4.90. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We are a nationwide, fee-based only money management firm. With our show heard in several cities across America.
Yeah, it looks like Google's the punching bag today.
Is that the culprit?
Down overall, roughly about 8.5%. And in reality, their cloud revenue was slowed, which that's one of their growth engines. But I think they had some of the best ad revenue they've had in a little over a year. Their revenues actually grew double digits, which, they've been a single digit grower for the last few quarters. So it's one of those mixed bags, but
yeah,
it's pretty rough punishment if that's what a mixed bag is.
It seems like an overreaction to me. The Dow was up 205 yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 121 yesterday. Easy come, easy go. I think another problem here is the 10-year. We closed at 4.84 yesterday. Looks like the selling is going on again. We're at 4.90. I still think it's the our Treasury, trimming their balance sheet. That seems to be the most likely suspect there. But anyways, we'll get through it. Today we're going to get some reports. We'll get to the ones that have reported since yesterday. But Microsoft, Boeing, Visa, Alphabet, we'll go over all of those. But we need to look ahead already. Meta Platforms will report today. That's one of the FANG stocks. You've got Boeing, which reported this morning. We're going to get
Amazon,
IBM.
Amazon tomorrow.
Yeah, ServiceNow today, Baker Hughes today, KLA Corp, Amazon tomorrow, along with Intel, Ford, Merck. So there's still a lot of very important companies to go. Exxon reports on Friday. So it continues to be a very brisk time of year. All right, let's begin with NVIDIA, which didn't report yesterday. But it's interesting to note that they got some clarification from the Biden administration yesterday about the China chip curb. They asked, when does it go in effect? And the Biden administration got back to them and said, immediately.
Yeah, like right now.
It's in effect, pal. Don't be selling any of those total processing performance of 4,800 or more, which would include its A100, A800, H100, H800, and L4OS products, which is basically NVIDIA's high-end line that they provide for artificial intelligence to, that's the engine that runs artificial intelligence. I think the big takeaway, despite the acceleration in timing for the export curb control, NVIDIA reiterated that it does not anticipate it will have a near-term meaningful impact on its financial results. Well, I guess you got to worry about the long term. They said the near term because they probably already booked it, right?
Yeah, I was going to say they probably already got plenty of demand, right? In other places, like, oh, well, sorry, you don't get them. I guess you get them, right?
Yes.
In that term, I guess on a long term basis, right? What does that, look for growth, right? As potentially a market here, say, gets saturated and you've got a Chinese market that they would like to sell into at some point. But, technology is one of those things. It moves quickly. So who knows how long some of these curbs will be in place, right?
And
so
I look at, with the NASDAQ down over 1%, NVIDIA is barely budging here. It's only down, 0.75%. I still say it's the premier stock in the market today. Why do I say that? Well, they're going to make $3.34 in earnings this year, 2023. Next year, $9.90. But wait a minute. The year after that, $15.77. You're not going to find another stock, especially a $1 trillion market cap, mega cap, that has earnings growth anticipated like that. So it continues to be a very large holding, obviously, here. Okay, more China. And this shouldn't surprise anyone, but China's Country Garden, which is one of their big real estate companies, deemed to be in default now, officially, on their dollar bond. So, we're just not hearing much out of China recently about their economy, about what they're up to. We should be a little bit concerned about that.
Yeah, Macau has been busy. That's it. Right?
They're having issues with their economy. And, a lot of times countries do crazy things when the economies aren't going well. So we have to always be mindful of the sleeping giant who's not so much sleeping anymore.
Well, and unrest, right, waiting to potentially happen in terms of terms of their own citizens, right, and if at bad economic times, right, the citizenry usually as a whole is not happy. So,
and they've got their ships positioned in the Mediterranean Sea, right? They kind of blocked off our fleet, which was headed that way. Our fleet had to take up a position in a different area there because the Mediterranean Sea had a welcoming party by China. I would say also I heard from my son-in-law who's at an Air Force base in the Midwest, and he said most of them are deploying or have already deployed. Now, he's in the Army there. And he's currently got an injury. I don't know if he'd have been deployed or not, but the Air Force guy's being deployed. Okay, as far as the earnings go, I was very happy to see Microsoft's earnings report. And Microsoft is one of our top five holdings between the premier growth portfolio and the income and growth, dividend and growth portfolio. Why does it fit in the dividend and growth portfolio? Because it pays a dividend yield of just under 1%. And I would take a growth stock like Microsoft that pays a dividend all day long over a tobacco or telephone stock that pays a much bigger dividend but has no growth.
Yeah, their yield looked better when it was at $250 a share. Well, now it's at $342.
I hope the yield goes down to 1/10 of 1%.
Exactly.
And you're not going to find in today's market growth like you're seeing believe it or not, $2.5 trillion in market cap. Look at this quarter. Their earnings were up 27% year over year, and their sales were up 13% year over year. So I'm a little bit surprised that the NASDAQ is not looking more to Microsoft than they are to Google. But I guess Google represents all the ad revenue. But Microsoft has plenty of cloud business, too. And, of course, we'll get Amazon will get a big update on their cloud business, which is a big driver of their earnings. But Microsoft, in my opinion, knocked the ball out of the park. And it is up 3.7% today. Believe it or not, Microsoft, after all these years, still comes up with a big, huge quarter. I got to thank ChatGTP and AI there in helping them with the big edge they have on the competition. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, before we move on to Alphabet and others, I want to stay with Microsoft just for a moment. You know, we've talked about all of the performance of the market being in about 10 or 12 stocks so far this year. Microsoft is definitely one of those stocks, okay? And, you know, going forward, the app, the Best Stocks Now app, still has Microsoft. It's ranked 400 out of about 5,800. Microsoft is up 38% this year, and it continues to be one of our biggest holdings. Now, you can't find many stocks this year that are up like that, especially big names that everybody knows about. And you know what? I mean, I went in it with confidence when we bought it because of the valuation that the app was giving me and the ranking that the app, the BestStocksNowApp.com, was giving me. And I did give the green light yesterday to the developers to submit the app to the Apple Store, the upgrade to the app, and to get it going in the Android Store again and to flip the switch, whatever that entails, to the web-based app. It is an invaluable tool for me. And yes, I would buy Microsoft today based on the valuation in the app. Now, let's move on to the next big one. Oh, by the way, there's just a few other. The analysts are weighing in. What their cloud did well. The Azure cloud, Azure. Just like that's a blue, right? That's yeah, if you're an artist, Azure blue. There's very blue.
I remember it from, it almost reminds me of like magenta or like the old, you know, the printer ink where you had like the four different colors. You know, I always remember seeing that.
Sky blue, basically.
Yeah. But and, there, yeah, I mean, that was up, that unit, right, was up 20, you know, grew at 29%, or, you know, for the quarter. And so, you know, that continues to be kind of a growth source for them. And you really have, you know, really two players, you know, three total when you throw Google in there, but they're a distant third. But, you know, between Amazon and Microsoft, the right. The cloud and the data centers, right, that's a big big source of revenue and a big source of future revenue growth for those places.
And the analysts they're quoting here on Seeking Alpha, I totally agree. Microsoft, he says, simply delivered, and we expect the stock to trade up modestly, but I look at his target price. That's pretty hefty, $430. That's about where we're at, maybe even higher. It's trading at $341. You know, if you do the math, that's $90 upside potential on Microsoft, MSFT. And, you know, there, again, you focus on earnings. You focus on earnings, and which leads me to the next stock, and I personally think I have to do the math once the new numbers, they should be adjusted by tomorrow, on Google, Alphabet. I would think that this would be a buying opportunity. You know, Alphabet was breaking out yesterday, And it would be interesting to dig into that a little bit. Maybe you can do that, Barry, and see. I mean, did they lose any search, you know, market to Microsoft because of ChatGPT? That's the big question I have.
Right, and it was really mainly their, their ad revenue was actually up. I think the most since, I want to say, second quarter of 2022, which. You know, if you're going into an economic quote unquote slowdown, right, the ad budget is usually one of the first things to get cut. Well, on the other end of that, you know, Google's flipping the script when it's, you know, from that perspective, because their ad revenue is actually higher than it has been, like I said, in the last six quarters or so. But, you know, they beat on the, you know, they beat, or, you know, beat earnings, what, I think by 10 cents. They beat on revenue. And it's really just the cloud piece, which, like I said, I think they own maybe, you know, they're like maybe 11% of the total pie when it comes to the cloud computing space. So you know, it's dominated by Microsoft and Amazon. Virtually, you know, both pretty much have, you know, are the market share leaders there.
Yes, and Google is up 57.9% year to date. That's another one of our. You just can't find. I reiterated this many times while we were in Bloomfield Hills meeting with folks. There's a few stocks that are working this year, and if you're not in those stocks, you're having a very poor year. And obviously, Google is one of those stocks. It's up 57%, and it, as of now, my first blush. Is this a buying opportunity? It's down 9% today. They're looking for 20% growth in earnings next year, 19% the year after that. I have no intention of selling my Google and moving on here.
And search actually beat. You know, search actually beat in revenue in terms of
market share
market expectations.
Here's my question: did they lose any market share? Right. What percent of the market does Google have in search? I don't know
search.
The answer to that.
I want to say it's 90% or so, if not, you know, 80, 85. I think at one point, I know Bing was less than 10%, right?
Yeah.
You know, going into ChatGPT.
Yeah, I'd be real interested to see their, what. Okay, now let's move on to Boeing, the pride of South Carolina, one of the companies that we have in our backyard. Of course, it's a much smaller division out here in South Carolina than in Washington. Boeing is now turned around, and it's down 2.6%. I don't like the chart on Boeing at all. We own Boeing for the better part of the year. I thought it would be one of the winners this year, coming out of COVID, people flying again. They're getting the orders.
But they have the Spirit parts load, you know, issue where they've got, you know, some, you know, and that actually trickled into a handful of the, you know, pretty much a handful of everyone in that space. But, and, you know, they're getting more and more competition from Airbus, right?
Yes. Now here's, you know, I have a line in the sand. We sold Boeing at 188.78, and now it's 177, so it's $11 lower. You know, I visit my patients every day. I got the 435 stocks to look at today. A plus, between the A plus list, the B plus are better. The stocks we own right now overall at our firm is about 150 total between everybody, and that includes a lot of stocks that we've inherited and I look at every day looking to get rid of them at some point. You know, the Fisher portfolio that came over to us, I've unloaded 60% of the stocks that he owned because they're just dead wood. They're dead wood. I'm not very impressed with Fisher. That's all I can say. Okay, and Boeing, they did come in with a pretty good, they reaffirmed next year's estimate. It seems to me that their problem is getting the deliveries done, and I don't know what's delaying that. You can't book the revenue until it's delivered and off your lot. There seems to be a lot of them on their lot. Right,
and it's
now
a capital-intensive business, so
yes.
You know, cost of debt is more expensive nowadays.
But they kept their cash flow targets, and really it was a pretty good report. But Boeing is now down 2.8%. Okay, when we come back, we've got a Bloomfield Hill stock that has reported. and several others that definitely are worth looking at. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of our today's Best Stocks Now show. We're going to talk next about a Bloomfield company in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, where we just were. We have a big auto dealer here in the Charleston, Mount Pleasant area. He also owns some dealerships in North Carolina. And he just sold his dealerships in North Carolina, which I believe are in Wilmington, nice little area, to the Penske Auto Corp. I saw him, our local auto dealer. He's a dapper guy, man. He is very wealthy, and he owns half of Charleston, I think. Tommy Baker, Baker Automotive Group. We see him at one of the restaurants that we go to, and he always says hi to us. He is the penultimate Southern gentleman, Barry.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he bows down and kisses my wife's hand. He's got that beautiful Charleston accent. But anyways, Roger Penske is quite a guy. And I said, you know, I was talking to Tommy. I didn't know he was still alive, but he obviously is. Penske, who owns the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? There's your question of the day. Roger Penske.
Roger Penske, yeah.
Not only does he physically own it, but his teams have won 19 Indianapolis 500s over the years. Penske was a driver in his early years. And, you know, those are the guys I grew up watching, Mario Andretti, Bobby Unser, Al Unser, Fittipaldi, Rick Mears, all Helio Castroneves. I have a brother that's very big in cars. He just as a hobby. I mean, my brother was very successful in business. He's retired now. He restores Ferraris, every single part of the Ferrari. He takes it and restores that part. He's well known all over the world, really, for what he does. And he's currently doing one for Elon Musk right hand, one of Elon Musk's right hand mans there in Texas. Where are all the kids now in Texas? Where's the university?
Austin.
Austin.
Yeah,
okay. All right. So anyways, he just sent me a picture of the Ferrari he's working on. It's just gorgeous. I mean, these are the old classic Ferraris. My brother is a perfectionist to the max. Okay, so back to Roger Penske. He owns I mean, the guy is worth $4 or $5 billion, $4 billion, something like that. I always admire people that go on to be successful in other businesses, right? So the Penske Auto Group out of Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. I didn't see the headquarters when I was back there, but I gotta believe it's pretty close to Woodward Avenue there. He owns the Penske Auto Group, which is a $10 billion company.
Yeah, they tried to buy, I mean, they were going to buy, I think they were going to buy Saturn back in 2000. Remember the brand Saturn back in kind of the 08, 09 times for the big three, and I think that fell through, and they didn't end up, I think that brand just went by the wayside. But they've been in all parts of the automotive industry for years.
Yes, so anyways, he's also won the Presidential Medal of Freedom from Donald Trump, gave it to him, President Trump. So he had a successful life. I just thought I would mention that they reported earnings today, $3.92 of earnings, missed by 2 cents. Revenue for the quarter, $7.5 billion, beats by $200 million. Okay, one stock that we own, which is an under-the-radar AI stock, Vertiv Holdings, VRT. Now, that's in our emerging growth portfolio. I just want to spend a minute on that area of the market. You know, it's the emerging growth portfolio, it would be more appropriate to measure it against the micro cap and the small cap indexes. The small, it's unbelievable how much the small and mid cap stocks have been left behind over the last 5 years. It's the difference is incredible. But yet I you know, I keep that portfolio going because it's just kind of my, it's my single A, like baseball, where I'm trying to find the next big winners. But you're fighting such an uphill battle right now because the small cap index and micro cap indexes, in fact, over the last 5 years, the micro cap index is down. And the small cap index is just barely positive. Now, I've seen times in my life when that was the only area of the market that was working. I remember coming out of the NASDAQ bashing, I'm saying 2004, 2005. We killed it in small cap
value
stocks.
Yeah, like 30+, like 30+% that particular time period, right? It helped them out, of course, going against as cost of capital increases, right? It's tough for smaller,
they
especially
have
for the index, right?
Yes.
To perform well, because you've got the cost of their debt. They usually have short term debt and have to roll it over, and you either get into a debt crunch or you're refining at higher rates.
Yes, and I do believe that small and mid, they'll have their day in the sun again. But if you've got a 401k, if you've got an asset allocation, this is one of those times when you want to have very little exposure, and it's been that way for a few years now, to small caps. I think our small cap index here in the U.S., I just go with the S&P 600. Let's just see where it was as of last Friday. I believe it's negative for the year. Why you've got, stocks like Google, it's the trillion-dollar babies that are leading the market this year. It's a tough go for the small caps. But we own Vertiv, VRT. It's had a pretty good year. We haven't caught. We bought it fairly recently when it showed up on my Best Stocks Now app on my radar. The stock's up 186% this year. So that's something to take note of. It's also ranked number 14 overall. I would say it's the top-ranked small-cap stock. They manufacture and service digital infrastructure technology for data centers and communication networks. The report that just came in this morning, their earnings were up 360% and their sales were up 24%. The stock was way up. But now it's being taken down with the rest of the market. It's down 3.6%. But suffice it to say, Gunderson believes it's one of the top small cap stocks. How small is it? Well, it's getting pretty big now. It's $14 billion. So it's moving into mid-cap territory. It's come a long way since going public in 2018. One of the biggest winners in the market this year, VRT, something to keep an eye on. Not recommending it. I'm just saying we own it in our emerging growth. Maybe we own it in our ultra growth. I think we own it in our ultra growth.
I think we do as well, yeah. And then on the outside, on the other side of that, too, it's you talked about big names like Google or just big monster stocks. You have... Google, I was reading their interest earned on essentially that a lot of those companies have a lot of cash on the books, where we talk about obviously interest rising rates hurting PE ratios. Well, on the flip side of that, those high cash balances I saw were I think Google's interest earned was, I want to say it was over $1 billion, I think, for the first time, this quarter.
So $1 billion just on interest. Their money sitting in the bank.
Right. Which takes some of the, sting off, right, of rates pumping, kind of bringing down PEs. So now, it's just an interesting narrative in terms of the bigger the company, the more benefit you've had.
Yes. Now, here's another good report today. Visa, which is one of the great IPOs of all time, believe it or not. Visa came public in 2008. It was about $10 a share at one time back in that time period. Now it's $236 per share. Been a very successful stock. I made a lot of money in Visa
and
a few years back.
More of a technology company, just getting the payments, right? Yeah.
Yes. Now Visa has reported, and it's up 1%. So it's one of the stocks bucking the overall trend here. Today, Hess has reported. Hess is getting bought out by Chevron, I believe it is. Hess is flat on the day. And the last one here is ADP. This is a stock that, all the big wirehouse firms love to own ADP. I see it in so many, that's automatic data processing. Which at one time had pretty much a lock, right, on payroll.
Right.
And then along came paychecks, and now there's numerous competitors. ADP is down 8.6% today, 8.6% today. Okay, when we come back, we'll look a little bit under the surface to see what else we can find. This is Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, it's kind of unfortunate that Alphabet is having such a big impact on the market. It is down 8.5% today. It's a big piece of the S&P 500. It's a big piece of the NASDAQ. It's had a really good year, however. And like I say, I mean, my first blush is this is just another buying opportunity in a giant company. That dominates several of the spaces that they are in. And you've also got a bump higher in interest rates, which makes me wonder if our Fed is trimming their balance sheet again today. I can't really see any reason why people would be selling bonds right now in the environment we have, which, you've got the war drums big time in the Middle East. The flight to safety. And I'm just thinking that the government's taking advantage. You got to have liquidity, right? You got to have a bunch of buyers.
Right. You're doing
to unload.
Issuance. Yeah. Your issuance and supply is really, like I said, has really been down on the corporate side. And so on the other end of the spectrum, right? It's got to be, the supply has to be coming from somewhere, right? And that's, it seems that has to, it's only the two big places it's coming from, right? Besides foreign,
foreign
holders of the debt is the Fed and just the Treasury issuing new bonds. Right?
Yeah, I mean then you get down into China and Japan, who could be lowering their exposure. I don't know.
And but I saw a chart with issuance, and it showed the amount of issuance, right? That it's historically different time periods, and I mean it's certainly been an issuance glut, right?
August
since
August was a huge month,
right,
of issuance of U.S.
all
debt
across the curve, really.
Because we have debt and we keep racking up more debt and we have to finance that debt. Obviously we're financing it at a much higher rate now than we were when interest rates were down around 1%. Now you're talking $1 trillion a year just in interest on our debt.
Yeah. Well, when you take, and just use Google as an example, and this is, part of the piece that, we kind of think it's unfairly, getting clobbered, but they've got $119 billion in cash on the
right.
Books. They have, you got to have some debt just because it makes sense from a capital structure standpoint, but $13.7 billion, you know, and so, you know,
that's
roughly
nothing
compared to the $119 billion you have in cash. And, you know, they're earning, right, more interest now off of those, you know, off of that cash and short-term assets. So
yes,
it's just
they
an
know how to run
there.
A budget. They know right. how to yeah. run a budget.
Right.
All right. Now, okay. Well, there's not much to write home about today. There's a few here that look not so bad, however. Obviously, in the Dow, Microsoft stands out. It's up 3.3%. Traveler stands out. It's up 2.1%. Visa stands out. It's up 1%. On the downside, it's Intel down 2.8%, Boeing down 2.5%, and Salesforce down 1.9%. In the S&P 500, is being heavily influenced by Google. I don't know what percent of the S&P is Google. 10%? It's a big piece of the S&P. And even a bigger piece percentage-wise of the NASDAQ, I would think.
Right, yeah, it's definitely, I think it's around, I want to say it's roughly 4 to 5% of the S&P, and it's a chunk of, you know, it's 8%, close to 10% of the certainly of the NASDAQ.
It's down 8.7%, so that's more than offsetting Microsoft's gain of 3.1%. Gap Stores, you know, a couple stocks that have really surprised me, Gap Stores, Abercrombie & Fitch, and American Eagle, those three.
Staying alive, huh?
And doing well. I mean, they're some of the biggest winners in the market this year. Let's see. Waste Management. That's not the big Wall Street firms, is it? It seems like their portfolio is a lot of waste in there. Man,
they've definitely been called, referred to as that before. That'd be nice.
Here's another theory I have.
To as before.
Someone's got to buy all these garbage stocks. I mean, there's a lot of big names that have not done anything for years. In fact, 90% of the market is mediocrity. Now they can hide behind an ETF, right?
Well, and an index, right?
You look at an ETF, all these people buying ETFs, and they don't realize how much garbage is in those ETFs. I think that's one of the reasons Wall Street invented ETFs, so they could hide all of these poor-performing stocks behind the ETF, underneath the surface where you don't even know what's in the ETF unless you do your own research. I always, if somebody brings in an ETF to us, I always look what the top 10 holdings are. That tells me right away whether it's garbage or whether it's valuable stuff in there. All right, now, in the S&P 500... Google obviously heavily influencing that. And then in the QQQ, Tesla's actually up a little bit today. Booking.com's up a little bit today. Amazon's down 3.4%. I got to believe that's in harmony. They're saying, well, if Google's cloud business is bad, Amazon's AWS is going to be bad when they report tomorrow. We'll see. And then PayPal just continues to get pounded. That's one of the worst stocks in the entire market. I saw one of the top articles. I had my article out all day yesterday and the day before. It never trended in the top 20 or 10 or whatever. And I'm looking at the articles that are trending there. I just go, what? I don't know about Seeking Alpha's audience. The management's great, but the audience... Buy PayPal now. Why would anybody buy PayPal now? And I just see all these articles. I say, mine should be the number one article. I had more to say in that article than anybody in that whole Seeking Alpha authors. And I thought, you know what? I guess people are just looking for the quick buck or whatever. And then last
yeah,
but not
trade.
Least.
I guess a trade. I don't know if it's just like a single trade or what. I mean, these. You know, I guess you got to. I guess with the way some of these REITs turn out, you better buy a lot of them because
maybe their readership is way down because people that have followed their top authors have been getting killed in the REITs and the high dividend paying stocks. I don't know. I think next time I'm going to write about a high dividend paying stock. We
just
have
a few.
few
and
but,
far between.
You know, it's really hit or miss when you submit an article there. Well, at least hopefully the smart folks out there read it. And hopefully it's useful along with all the other articles I've written in the past. All right. Well, if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. And if you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter and look at our latest article, which I haven't even written yet, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.